everybody, and welcome to episode 108 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast for Monday, December 23rd, 2013. I am your host, Mark Kuznez, and this is the day before Christmas Eve. So I don't know if there will be a show on Tuesday or Wednesday, Christmas Eve and Christmas, because I will be traveling tomorrow to Galena to visit my mother for Christmas Eve and Christmas, and we'll be heading back on Christmas. So that is quite the dilemma. I'm sure plenty of people are saying, it's Christmas, just take a damn break. And I'm like, no, I only take breaks when I am almost dying. And so I have no idea. I will maybe try and record something because I'm leaving really early tomorrow. I might try to record something at 4 in the morning. I don't know. We'll see how that works out. And Christmas, I don't know exactly when I will be back, so that'll all. And I'm not going to have anything to talk about. I might see a movie, probably Saving Mr. Banks, because I think my mom would like that. But yeah, so exciting. But before I get to what I really want to talk about on this here episode, I want to officially congratulate vocally with my mouth and not just on the Twitters. The wonderful John and Elizabeth Jensen for the great, the best news of 2013, that the lovely Elizabeth is pregnant, and they're expecting in August of next year, not this year, obviously. That makes no sense. But yes, I just want to officially congratulate them. I know how hard it was to get. It was more so hard for them to get to the point where they were going to be able to try and get pregnant. So it seems like that went smoother than expected. So, but it was a tough road getting there, and I'm glad that they got there and that they didn't have to wait as long as maybe they thought. So that is great. Great news for them. Best news of 2013. Sure, I don't have school ever again, and I never have to read Virginia Woolf ever again, which is pretty good, because she's the devil, and I hate her, and I'm glad she's dead, because if she wasn't, I would kill her. But yeah, best news. Second best news is Virginia Woolf is dead. Third news is I'd never have to read Virginia Woolf again. Fourth news is Virginia Woolf dead again. That's just pretty awesome. Anyway, on to the actual topics of this here podcast. I want to talk about Max, The Curse of Brotherhood, which recently came out on Friday, which was the 20th, I believe, for Xbox One. Only Xbox One. It will eventually, sometime in 2014, probably, unless maybe they just decide to can that version. It is supposed to be coming out to the Xbox 360, which was the original platform of release, I believe. It's what I've heard. But anyway, this is technically, it's sort of a sequel to Max and the Magic Marker, but it's more of a reimagining, a refining of the idea behind that, where it's a puzzle platformer, a side-scrolling one, where you have this magic marker and it allows you to create objects, manipulate the world, basically, to solve puzzles, to get, you know, from point A to point B. And over the course of the game, you are given more powers. Your marker is able to do more things. Like, you can only start out by, you can manipulate parts of the ground, so you can raise them up so that you can reach higher places, or you can lift up boxes, or etc. Then you get the ability to create branches that allow you to get to places, and you can break off those branches and use them, like you can shape them so you can get to different places, or to trap someone, or to get over a space. Then you can create vines, which allow you to swing around, and then you can manipulate water that you can go in and it'll basically shoot you out, so if you need to get somewhere far. And then the final power is Fireball, which allows you to break open certain objects, certain like doors and whatnot, or also take out the not so common enemy. So anyway, that's the basic premise of the game. And it's The Curse of Brotherhood sounds like a typo, but that's the actual subtitle for the game, because the basic premise and why you're doing all this is because you basically get home, you're Max, you get home, you see your brother's playing with your toys, your little brother Felix, and he's just making a mess of everything. He's being a real douchey little brother like they always are. And he's playing with your toys and destroying them. And basically, you know, you wish that you'd go off to a horrible place. But you never expect those wishes to come true. But in this game, it happened to come true. And Felix is grabbed, taken through a portal. And then Max is like, ugh, crud. I guess I gotta go save his ass. And he jumps through the portal as well. It's a decent game. It's decent. It's not great, but it's not horrible. I do enjoy the visuals. It's a very colorful game, and it has a nice bit of variety. You know, there are parts where you're underground and there's lava and all that. You start off in a more foresty place that has some very bright colors, which is nice. Then there are parts in caves. There's this one kind of short section that is really, really pretty. It's weird saying that because a good chunk of it is where you can't see anything. It's super dark, and you can just see sort of different lights of maybe like mushrooms or like parts of the cave, the environment that illuminate in various colors, or parts of the environment that you can manipulate that stick out because you need to be able to see those. And it's a very pretty thing to look at, just seeing how the contrast between the dark and these bits of color. But the real problem I have with the game is that, and this is a change from Max and the Magic Marker. In this game, The Curse of Brotherhood, you are only able to manipulate specific parts of the environment. There are designated points. Basically, it'll be a little part that's sort of like glowing. I can't remember if it's exactly like pulsating, but you'll be able to tell very obviously that this is a part of the environment I can manipulate. And those are the only parts you can use your marker on. If you don't see one of those places, you can't do anything with your marker. Your marker is worthless. It's empty. And this makes it a lot easier. The puzzles, basically, you see a puzzle. You see, like, okay, how do I get there? You see what parts of the environment you can manipulate. And I'm like, well, I can only do this and this, so I must have to do this. And that's how it always works. And that's a bit disappointing. My most immediate comparison would be Trine and Trine 2, specifically the mage, where you could create boxes and like planks to get around the world. And even in Max and the Magic Marker, where you were able to just draw as much as you could with how much ink you have in your marker, I like having the freedom, and then I feel like more of a challenge to try and figure out, okay, so how do I use the powers I have to get from point A to point B? And I think part of the reason why they have this limitation, which always feels like a limitation to me, is that because I don't remember how many powers or even if there were any in Max and the Magic Marker, but if you gave 100% freedom with every single one of the powers once you have all of them, I would assume that at that point it would be pretty much like a cinch. Like every puzzle would be easily just destroyed. Like it would become incredibly easy. Whereas with this, it's just not exactly challenging. There's just not much to think about. So that's just kind of a problem. And what makes it challenging though, because it's not an easy game, is that using an Xbox 3, not 360, God almighty, stupid Xbox One name. Using an Xbox One controller doesn't give you the precision you need in a game like this. Especially later on when you have these powers that are requiring more of a like straight line or curvatured line. Then it becomes a bit of a problem. And especially making straight lines. I don't know, maybe when you play you'll have better luck. But my controller did not want to go in a straight line at times. It just did not want to do it. And this becomes annoying as you're trying to do something. You know exactly what you have to do, but the controls are not allowing you to do it. And this is most problematic at times where you are being chased either by this really big monster. And that's another thing that, as good as the visuals are, for one, it doesn't look like it's some great next-gen game. But the enemy design, they all look like garbage. They sort of look like they were a second thought. Because Max, he looks pretty good. Even his brother, who barely is actually in the game, fine. But the enemies just look like crap. Especially the big one who chases you at times. Now, back to that. There are moments when you're getting chased or where the environment starts to collapse and you're sort of sliding along and you can't, you know, you have to do things really, really fast. And the game will slow down because it knows there's no way you'd be able to do it if we did not slow down the game right here. But even with those moments, it becomes hard to get exactly what you need. And then you have to go back and redo the section, and that becomes frustrating. So there are these moments where you are forced to do things very quickly, and you're not even given much time to think about, is this exactly what I have to do? And that becomes a bit annoying. But overall, despite these issues and problems, I think it is a decent puzzle platformer. Overall, it does look good. And it is something new for the Xbox One, which there isn't a lot of. And it's also something different for either platform. So for $15, if it looks at all interesting, I would definitely try it out. I mean, it's also a decent length. It's probably, I don't know, 8 to 10 hours, somewhere in there. And you could replay it. I mean, there's always that. You know, it's a decent game. It's definitely worth checking out. It's not, I know a lot of people, including myself, would be like, well, not would be like that. They were, when it came out on Friday, just like, what the hell is this? I never even heard of the game. I did not know it existed. I guess it was announced at E3. Maybe it was like in some slideshow, and that's how it was announced. But I don't remember anyone talking about it. And then all of a sudden it came out. And even on the site, the official site, it's still, it might say that it's out now, but like right at the bottom, one of the big like window button things they have there is like, expected to be coming out sometime in like early 2014, or just, it might just say 2014. So even on the site, it doesn't officially say it's out yet. So that's, I mean, there's just this weirdness about it, but yeah, it's a decent game, and don't just skip it because you're like, I've never heard of this. This just came out of nowhere, so it must be horrible. It's not horrible. It's a decent platformer, and if you like platformers, which is the best thing that anyone says, if you like this genre, you might want to give this game a shot. But that's true. You may want to give it a shot. And then I want to talk a little bit before I call it a day, a night, an evening, an afternoon, about Rise Son of Rome's multiplayer, which I just started playing last night, yes, after recording Bixelated Radio. And the reason why I even gave it a chance was because there is a challenge, and I'm kind of addicted to these challenge achievements on the Xbox One that are more time-based, and they don't give you points, but they'll give you maybe like a picture or something, or it's just to be able to say, I did this, and it'll never come again. I think that's kind of a cool little thing to have. So I decided to play because it was for, I think it's called Keys to Rome, and it was for finishing the game and then playing a match on every single one of the arenas in the multiplayer. And then I found myself having a lot of fun with the multiplayer. It's co-op. The biggest problem I have with it is that it's only two players. So, you know, me and my co-host from Pixelated Radio will never be able to play all together, which is sad. But the game itself is basically, there is a point in the single player near the end where you are fighting in the arena. And that's basically what it is. You are in an arena, either by yourself or with another person. You can only, there are only four arenas that you can play solo, but then there are a lot more lengthier ones that you can play only with another person. And I played with randoms, and they were, for the most part, all fine. There was one who was kind of a douche, and then he ended up quitting, so whatever, but the basic way it's set up is it's sort of like a horde mode where, and they're very short and they're always the same, which is the biggest disappointment. I mean, it's the same thing that ruins, not ruins, but is a problem with the game in general, is just a repetitiveness. and things just at a certain point you realize that things never change. So that's a problem. But basically, you'll have certain goals during the thing where it'll say, okay, go kill these archers, and then go kill them, and then, you know, be like, oh, that's completed. Now go light this camp on fire, et cetera, et cetera. You have a certain number of goals. It's usually about, I don't know, 4 or 5 per level, and it always ends with then you having to kill the leaders, which is 3 to 4 of the more powerful enemies. And it's pretty fun. I mean, because I do like the combat, and if, I feel like because I know what I'm going into, it doesn't feel as annoying as it is in the single player, where you get to a point and then enemies just keep coming until you kill them all and get to move on. I know that's what's going to be happening, so it's not as annoying in multiplayer. And the multiplayer is never too long, so you can pick up and just play a round or two and then just leave. And you get gold at a decent amount, which is what you use to buy booster packs, which are the way, it's the way you get new equipment for your gladiator. I still haven't gotten a freaking pair of pants to cover my ass. I'm still wearing a loincloth, which is annoying. I can't wait for that. But yeah, it's surprisingly fun. I mean, that's what the game is in general. It's surprisingly not terrible, and I genuinely enjoy the story. So if you haven't tried out Rise's multiplayer and you have the game, I would give it a go. It's not the best thing in the world, but it is surprisingly fun. It always ran smoothly. It didn't take long to find someone to play with ever. So yeah, Rise has a decent multiplayer. That Rise, this is surprising. I feel like I have to hold off from gushing too much about it, because I don't want to say like I love the game or anything, but I really do enjoy the game, and I think a big part of that is just because of how many people were down on it. I mean, there were those who were like, this isn't that bad, and I find myself enjoying it a lot more than I thought I would. And I really, really hope that Arise 2 comes out, even though the way it ends would lead it to be a completely different story. Spoilers, or, you know, something's going to happen. But anyway, that does it for today's episode of Pixelated Sausage Podcast. I forgot what my podcast was called for a second right there. Once again, I'm your host, Mark Cusinez. You can find me on Twitter at Cush3 and Instagram mcush. I don't know why I feel compelled to tell everyone my Instagram, whatever. And then you should also go to frontburner.net. That is frontburner without the e.net, frontburner.net. Give me the Christmas gift that it's all I want for Christmas. It's not you. Sorry, Mariah Carey. It's for you to register over at frontburner.net, because it's all up and running. Emails are working again. Yippee, yippee, yippee. Kaye, mother trucker. So yeah, go there and register if you haven't already. Everything works again, which is very, very happy. Happy news. And you should also check out the podcast, which a new episode number 7 just came out, of The Sprite Stuff, hosted by Deanie McPherson of the Deaner's Sons. And you can check it out there with his blog as well, Sprite This Down. You can also find it on Twitter. Just search for Front Burner or The Sprite Stuff and you will get it. And then you should also check out some other great podcasts, like the Signed In Podcast at signedinpodcast.com, the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Cast at twoheadednerd.com, the Undercover Unitards Podcast at undercoverunitards.com, and the Grand Nam Unleashed Podcast at whogivesashit.whatever. And of course, you should also check out Pixelated Radio, which you can find at pixelatedradio.com. For all of those shows, if you haven't already, subscribe to them on iTunes, review them, rate them, whatever. Please do so positively, not negatively, because that really does help out the shows. Keeps them up in the rankings, and is just a very nice thing for you to do, especially at this time of year when it's all about giving, even if you're a Jew. That's horrible. All right, everyone. If I do not talk to you again until the 26th, have a lovely holiday regardless of whether you celebrate or not, because no matter what, you likely have off from school or work or whatever. So have fun and enjoy it. Adios, everyone.